this morning we're going to continue our, I guess it continue, we had part one last week of our sermon series. It's just a two-part series. This morning's message is personal advice to a young man. Last week was practical advice to a young man. This week's personal advice to a young man. Now, as I begin this message, you know, it's easy sometimes to receive advice and then forget the advice. And I look at my own, I think of my own life. You know, there are times I wish I could go back and hear again some of the advice that was given to me from my parents, of course, and from teachers and from friends. But it's easy when you hear advice to say, well, I don't need it. It's no big deal. Also, here's a second thing we need to be careful of when advice comes our way. It's easy to hear advice and say, you know, that's good advice for them or for him or her. And it's possible sometimes to hear a message and the whole time be thinking, well, I wish someone else was here. They need that one. Well, we're here this morning. And I believe that when we go to the Scriptures, that there's something for each one of us. The Holy Spirit is able to do that. He's able to provide a spiritual need for everyone here this morning. And so, as we go into this message, I know it's advice to a young man. Now, you're all young this morning, so I'll just keep myself out of trouble. You're all young, so it's all advice to each one of you this morning. But I hope and pray that you'll take it to heart, some of the thoughts that are here, because no matter what age you are, the teachings that we'll find here this morning can be applied to all of us and really should cause us to think over some things. Last week, we looked at verses 12 on down to 11 to 13. This morning we're going to begin, and I've already read it, so I'm just going to read verse 14 to start with. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And then he talks about meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them. This morning, personal advice to a young man. Basically, Timothy was to consider three areas of his life, as we'll see here this morning. His calling. He was called to be a preacher. He was called to be a minister of God's word. Secondly, his commitment. You know, the first one would be, I guess, say undone or remain undone without the second one. He had to have some commitment in his life. And then thirdly, his concern, what he should concern himself with while he lived down here on earth. Now, this was written a few thousand years ago, but I believe we'll find it's very practical for today. Now, let's talk about his calling. That's what we find in verse 14. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. That word gift is also used for talents. In other words, for abilities that God has given. And here, Paul challenged Timothy not to neglect the gift that was given to him. The gift that was from God. And that's what we find here. He says there, as it says, the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Now, this was a gift from God. And God is the source of all gifts that we have, all talents that we have, all abilities that we have. God is the source of those because He's the Creator. He made you. And He made you the way you are, and He's given you those gifts and those abilities because He chose to do so. As far as Timothy was concerned, Timothy did not earn this. No pastor earns the calling. A pastor is called by God's will and God's desire. Also, Timothy did not invent the calling. Timothy didn't make this up. This was something that God had already put in place, and Timothy was to be part of it. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, talking about the Holy Spirit, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You know, you read through the rest of 1 Corinthians 12, we find that the Spirit is the one who gives gifts, whether it's teaching, preaching, prophecy, and the list goes on and on, of course, many gifts that the Holy Spirit will give. And the Spirit is the one who hands these out. You know, I think about my life. I don't know about you, but I didn't get to choose my birthplace. That was God's choice. I didn't get to choose the generation I was born in. That was God's choice as well. I didn't get to choose the gifts that God has given me. That's God's choice. And we're all in that same category. God has made us different and has given us each different gifts and different abilities. Now, as far as the prophecy is concerned, notice he mentions prophecy there. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. The word prophecy basically means to speak under divine influence, is what it's talking about. Now, one aspect of prophecy, and usually when we say prophecy or prophesy, what immediately comes to mind, or at least for me, is, you know, foretelling the future. That's what comes to mind. I think of the Revelation, or maybe some of the prophecies in the Old Testament. And that's accurate. That's one aspect of prophecy and prophesying. But another aspect of it is just divine teaching. It's basically teaching under God's direction and under God's leading. We find here, he says in verse 14, as it says there, which was given thee by prophecy. Now, I'm going to give you some thoughts on this because I am not real certain as to what this means. I read several commentaries on this. You know, as I study the Bible, I get to areas which I'm not sure on. I go to commentaries because I think, well, someone's going to give me a good answer on this. And there are times when nobody gives me a good answer. Some didn't even address it. And others basically say, well, I think it's this. So I'm just going to give you, I think. Here's some thoughts here. As I've said, telling the future, that's one aspect of it. Perhaps this is referring to the fact that once Timothy was saved, now he's a young man at this time. It's believed he's maybe late teens, early 20s. Maybe after he was saved, just the way he began to live his life, maybe he got involved in teaching there with Paul and the ministry. Maybe people could say, hey, he's going to be a preacher. And that's happened before. Even today, you see some men at a young age, and not always the case. There are times where someone's called to be a preacher and people say, him? But there are times when a man's called to preach and some can say, yeah, I saw it at a young age. God was working in his life. And maybe that's what this is. Maybe some just really believed that Timothy was called to do this. And here's one other thought. I'll give this to you. Maybe Paul knew this. You know, the Lord did give Paul a lot of knowledge, a lot more knowledge than we have. And the scriptures weren't complete at this time. So Paul, we know, had a lot of knowledge from God. And maybe Paul was told this when he was leading and teaching Timothy, that Timothy was going to be a pastor and a missionary and so forth. Now, those are just my thoughts on this. Let's get back to the gift here for a minute. Here's what Timothy was challenged to do. He was told not to neglect the gift that was given to him. First, that tells us he was to be grateful for the gift he had. His gift was a talent from God. He should be thankful, or he should have been thankful. I'm sure he was. What gifts do you have today? You ever thought about that? Now, not everyone's called to be a preacher or a pastor or a missionary. Not everyone's called to teach a class. Not everyone's given the gift of music. But I believe we all have gifts and abilities that God has given to us. What gifts or talents do you have this morning? And are you thankful for those gifts and those talents? You know, think about gifts. Some are known at an early age. What I mean by that, you think of music. There are situations where someone at a young age, you can tell they have a gift for music. You know, sometimes they call them prodigies. They get up there and they can just play a piano and they get going. And things just come naturally to them as far as music is concerned. They can read music, they can play. It's just natural. I think of athletics, even physical abilities. Often at a young age, sometimes we can see those physical abilities. Well, then there are some gifts that are not real prevalent until later in life. How about some of those like mental gifts? I'm still waiting for mine to be shown. But think about some of those mental gifts. What I mean by that is the ability with numbers. You know, there's some people, you can put numbers out there. To me, it's just a bunch of numbers. Someone can look and say, nah, that's this. I mean, some people just have that mind. There's some people that have the ability with languages. You know, there are people that can just, I mean, it's like no problem picking up a language. Two languages, three, four, five, and the list goes on. Some can speak many languages. You see, it's a gift. Now, they may not have seen that early in life, but as they have grown and matured and some grown in the Lord, they begin to see the gifts that God has given them. You know, each of us is created by God and for His glory. And this morning, everyone here, you fall in that category. You have been created by God and for His glory. And God has made you who you are. And I believe He'll work through your life right now, today, as you are. You see, once we're saved, we don't all become robots the exact same way. We keep our personalities, we keep our gifts and our abilities and our talents, and God will begin to work through us as we are. You know, I think sometimes the problem today is many want to put everyone in a box, so to speak. And if someone is different, especially when it comes to children, we see a child who's a little bit different, we think something's wrong with that child. That's not necessarily the case. I'm not talking about choices, I'm talking about personalities and abilities and gifts. You know, I'm always reminded of Thomas Edison. You know how long he went to school for? 3 months, and then his teacher sent him home. Here's what his teacher said. His teacher said he was incapable of learning anything. So she sent him home, and his mom began to teach him at home. Well, as we know now, he was able to invent the commercial incandescent light bulb, a phonograph, and a fluoroscope. He had a brilliant mind. He may have went about things a little bit differently and at a young age, but God blessed him with a brilliant mind. You know, there are people like that. We all have different gifts and different abilities. I think what we need to do is just live our life for God. Be yourself. Don't try to be someone else. You know, pastors need to be themselves. Everyone just needs to be who you are, how God has made you, and live your life for the Lord. That's what Timothy was supposed to do. He wasn't to neglect his gift, but he was supposed to apply it and live for the Lord. Secondly, here's another thought I have with Timothy's gift. How about contentment? You know, another thing that happens is we can often covet others' gifts. I think we've all been guilty. I know I've been guilty of that. I'll be the first to tell you, there have been times I went home after church, I said, well, I wish I could sing like that. I wish I had that voice. Now, sometimes it's just, you know, nice thinking, but there are times when we can covet someone else's gift and say, well, why didn't God call me for that? How come God didn't give me that ability or that gift or that talent? You know, I really want to do that. Timothy needed to be content with the gift that God had given him, the calling that God had for his life. It's tempting and easy, I think, to want what others have. Philippians 4:19, what did Paul say? But my God shall supply. Now, I got the wrong one. Not supply all your need. He says, be content. Let's turn over there. I can get this right one. Philippians chapter 4. And it's actually in verse. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the grace and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Notice what he says here. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know, Paul here in the letter to the Philippians said he had to learn to be content. That's a process. He's not talking about salvation. We're not talking about the process. Once you're saved, you're saved. But he had to learn in his life to be content. I think he's referring probably to the fact that he had to fight off the temptation to be discontent or to covet or to want. He had to learn to be content. You know, this morning we need to learn to be content with our abilities that God has given to us, our gifts, and the direction that God is taking us. Now, as far as Timothy's concerned, he was given the gift to preach and to teach. And here's another thought on that. His gift was no greater than what others had. And that's something else that's happening in Christianity if we're not careful. Pastors are put on a pedestal. Why? Because they preach and teach. Pastors shouldn't be put on no pedestal. Now, I think there's nothing wrong with standing on a pulpit, a stage, so a pastor can see people. But pastors have a gift. Pastors are sinners saved by grace. They have no more of the Holy Spirit than anyone else. They have a gift that God has given them. And if that gift is neglected, then they can lose that gift no different than anyone else. It's just a calling that God has for them, a plan for their life. Charles Spurgeon was the one who said, he goes, I'd rather be a great teacher, he goes, than a lousy preacher. And he was talking about just regular teaching classes. You know, what happens is sometimes we elevate positions that God did not elevate. Yes, a pastor has a position of authority and a leadership, but that's a gift that God has called him to and the ministry he has. You see, Timothy's gift was no greater than anyone else's. I enjoy team sports. Football, basketball, baseball. Enjoy watching those. And when you think about team sports, even though our society has elevated some positions, I think of the quarterback right away, every position is equally important on that field when it comes to playing the game. You know, you can have a great quarterback, but if he has no line to block, he can be the best quarterback in the world. He's got no ability to carry out the play that he has. And every sport covers that. When you think about a team, a group, every person, every position is important. I think about that with our gifts and our abilities. Every believer is important to the Lord. If you're saved this morning, you're important to God. The abilities He's given you are important. And God has a plan for your life. We just need to be faithful with those. This is my third thought underneath Timothy's gift as far as his you know, challenge is concerned. He was to be faithful. You know, Paul here told him not to verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Neglect means to forget about it or set it aside. He was continued to preach and to be faithful with what God had given him, his ability, his talent. Now, he was called to preach and teach. That meant he had to preach and he had to teach. You see, the ministry should not be neglected if you're called to preach and teach. If a man is called in the ministry, he shouldn't decide, well, I'm going to go out and live this way. Now, if someone's called into business and not called in the ministry, that's fine. They can go into the business world. That's where God's called him. But in Timothy's case, this was the gift God had given him, and so he should use it for God's glory. I think here that we find that he was to develop his gift. He had that ability, but he was to continue to use it and develop it. You know, talents must be used. They must be developed. They must be strengthened over time, or else they can be lost. You know, anything that is unused, will eventually decline, even our gifts and our abilities. I'm going to give you an example of this. There's a story, the English artist, Dante Rossetti, he's the one who told this story. One day, he was in his studio, and a gentleman came in to his studio, and he had a case there of papers, and he began talking to Dante Rossetti, and they had a conversation, and he told him how he was an artist. And he asked him, he said, "Would you be kind enough to look over some drawings that I have brought in?" And he said, "I sure will." So he had two sets. He goes, "I have two sets." He goes, "Here's mine." And he goes, "I got another set of a young student." And he said, "Okay." And so he spread out the first set, and Mr. Rossetti looked over the set, and he kindly, the way he put it, he kindly told them they had no value. Said they have no value, and he needed more training. Well, the gentleman said, "Well, here's a second set by a young student." And he pulled it out, and he spread those out. And Mr. Rossetti looked at him and instantly began to remark on the abilities. He said, "Without a doubt," he said, "this student is going to become a distinguished artist." Well, the man picked up the papers, put his head down, and here's what he said. He said, "Sir, I was that student. I failed to persevere in my work because my teacher seemed demanding. Now I find that I have slipped backwards." He said, "You're right." He said, "You're right in your estimation of my drawings. As I feared, they are of little or no value." Gifts must be used. This morning, are you using the gifts that God has given you? Preachers must preach. Teachers must teach. Musicians must play their instruments. Singers must sing. If you have an ability, whatever it is that God has given to you, and you think of the abilities that we have, you know, some are able to encourage. Some have the ability to write. Are you using that for God's glory? Some have the ability with numbers. Are you using that for God's glory? You see, if we don't use it, we may lose the ability to have it at all. And that's here the challenge to Timothy. He was to not neglect his calling. Secondly, how about his commitment? Notice in verse 15, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Now here's where Paul gets real personal with Timothy. You know, the title is "Personal Advice to a Young Man." Here's where he gets personal to him. He begins to tell him what he should think on. That's personal if you ask me. He says, "Meditate on these things." In other words, the gift he'd been given, and of course going back through this chapter, many of the teachings that Paul had shared with him, he used to meditate on those things. That word for meditate means to think on frequently. You know, today sometimes we have the wrong impression of meditation. Some think meditation is just to, you know, check out of the world and check out of reality. The word here, in this case, the word means to think frequently on, and it also means to go over something in the mind, to think on it. So it's not checking out of reality, it's not making your mind blank. It's actually thinking on something and continuing to think over something. He was to meditate on these things. I think if he did this, it would remind him of his gift and the importance of his gift, what he was to be doing with it. Also, it would probably help him better understand the calling that God had for him. You know, as believers, when you read the Word, I think you should meditate on it. That's why I think it's good to start the day with the Bible. Now, you may not have time to do an hour-long study before you go off to work, but you can read a chapter maybe and have some verses you can think on throughout the day, or a passage you can give some thought to. And as you go throughout your day, you may find that, oh, that's what that means. It begins to make sense a little bit. You see, it's good to meditate on the things of God. You know, our mind, now this may be debatable. Our mind is still the most powerful tool at our disposal. Now, some may debate that, I guess, but our mind is powerful. It really is. You know, all these new gadgets are nice, but they cannot take the place of our mind. The ability to create and invent and to think and all that, we have these because people have used their mind to develop these tools, and God has blessed us. Sadly, what's happening, though, is many are allowing those tools to take the place of their mind. You know, it used to be you can ask someone a question. You know, say, "Do you remember this?" Or "What do you think about this?" You know, they'd begin to think, "Well, let me think this out." Nowadays, you ask them a question and they reach in their pocket and they pull out the phone and I'll look into that for you. I'll give you an answer here in a second when I search it. You see, we begin to rely on all these gadgets and tools, and I'm not against those. But we need to use our mind, especially when it comes to the things of God. Meditate on those things. Think on those things. Here's another thought on this. We don't know when a trial's coming. You know, the devil doesn't give us warnings when it comes to temptation. At least for me. He doesn't give me an email saying, I'm going to tempt you this morning, get ready. He's just not that kind. Basically, the temptation comes either when we least expect it or when we're weak, in a moment of weakness. And the devil finds an opportunity to come. You know, when you're thinking on the things of God, it can make it a lot easier to overcome those temptations, especially discouragement, because you already are thinking on the things of God. And it becomes easier to go to God in prayer because you're already thinking on the things of God. So I encourage you this morning to meditate on the things of God. And that's what Timothy was challenged to do. Turn with me to Philippians. I want to point out something real quick this morning. I think it's good when it, as far as this passage is concerned. Philippians chapter 4. You know, as far as thinking, notice here, you know, what we think on is important. In Philippians 4, verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, that's an excellent verse. It is. But we can't stop there. Let's read that next verse and see what it tells us. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, things that are just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, this morning, what we think on, what we have running through our mind is important. And I want to encourage you to think, follow this advice in Philippians. Think on the things. Well, now I know at work you're going to have to be concentrating on your work. But don't think on things of the world. Don't think on things that are impure, but think on the things of God and allow the Lord to bless you as you think on Him and His ways. You know, Timothy, secondly, we go back to our passage in verse 15, meditate upon these things. And then he says, give thyself wholly to them. Here's his commitment here. He was to meditate on those things, but then he was to apply them. You know, we can do a lot of thinking. You know, I can solve all the world's problems in my mind, but it doesn't mean it having any effect out there. We can do a lot of thinking, but if we don't apply that thinking, then it just stays right there. He says here, meditate upon these things, and then he says, give thyself wholly to them. So he's to think on these things, and he's to have them in his mind, and then he's to live by these things. Give himself wholly to those things. Now that's commitment is what that is. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about yielding our lives to God as a living sacrifice. You know, God's not interested in dead sacrifices anymore. He wants a living sacrifice. He wants to work through our life. You know, Timothy basically was to give himself to God. Wholly, completely. Everything he had to God and to God's glory. I think he was to set aside all of his earthly ambitions. And he was to serve the Lord. Now that's a lesson for all of us. No matter what career path God has called you down, let's not live for the world. Now, there's nothing wrong with promotions. There's nothing wrong with working hard. And if someone else, sees that, notices that, and then honors it, there's nothing wrong with those things. But if you're living for those things, that's where the problem comes in. When that becomes your life and your desire, and that's what you're chasing after, then all of a sudden that's in place of the things of God. You see, we need to have God first. Sold out to Him, and then live life. And God blesses, praise the Lord for that. And give Him the not only the credit, but give Him thanks for blessing you. You see, Timothy was to put away any earthly ambitions. He was to put away his personal desires to serve the Lord. I think he was to forget all the earthly titles and the rewards so he could serve God. He was to give his best time and his best energy for the Lord. He wasn't to give second best or third best. He was to give the best of what he had. He was not to serve the Lord when it was convenient, but at all times. Now, this morning, I want to challenge you with that thought. Let's not serve the Lord and praise God when everything is going great. And then when a difficulty comes and a trial comes, we forget God and we move. Let's serve God at all times. Be faithful to the Lord. Also, he was not to use his gift when he felt like it. He was to use his gift for God's glory under God's direction. He was basically to give his best to God at all times, no matter what was happening in his life. There's a missionary who told a story. And I'm going to share this with you. When I heard it, it just convicted my heart. He told the story of a brother in Christ, is the way he told it. He says, right now there's a brother in Christ in Nigeria, and this was told about 10 years ago, so I don't know if this man's still alive. But he said, there's a brother in Christ in Nigeria who is badly deformed. His legs are withered. He's unable to walk or afford any transportation. Yet he crawls to worship services. In order to bring his Bible, he either balances it on his head or he pushes it in front of him. He says, here's a man who knows the value of commitment to the Lord. When the saints assemble, he's there. That's commitment. everything to God, no matter what the situation. I guess I'll just ask you this question. Are you giving your best to the Lord? Each one of us. You know, we can always do better, I think. We can always give more to God, everyone. Are you giving your best to the Lord? Your best time? Your best effort? Are you giving the best to the Lord? Here's the third thought. And this is what Timothy should concern himself with. Verse 16, he says, take heed unto thyself. Now that word, take heed, is one word in the Greek, and it basically means to hold on to something, to keep hold of it. So he says, take heed. There he says, unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So he says, take heed. Now, hold on to your life. I think he's talking about his testimony, you know, his personal life. Take heed. Have control over your life. In other words, Timothy, don't be in this world. Don't let the world control your life. Have some self-control. You know, this morning, I think as believers, we do need to display some self-control in our life as we live for the Lord. Under the Spirit, of course, He'll guide and direct and give that power. But we're just not to live for whatever the world throws out there. We're not to live to please our flesh, but we're to live for the Lord. So he was to take heed. Basically, he was to pay attention to his personal conduct, to his habits, how he lived his life. And I think we find Paul. Now, Paul's a veteran missionary, and he's writing to this young man. And keep it, remember, let me read this to you. We go back, 1 Timothy 4. Notice what he says. Remember what he says in verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. You know, young people, we have some young men and women in our church this morning. You're already, I guess, not necessarily that people are going to despise you, but there are going to be a lot of questions about you just because you're a young person. Whether you have sincerity, whether you're dedicated, whether you're serious or not, or if you're just doing this because it seems neat. Now, he's telling Timothy, he says, guess what? You need to maintain that testimony. That's what you need to do. You need to take care of your life. Pay attention to how you live. You know, Timothy was not to allow anything to tarnish his testimony. And I tell you this morning, you can lose your testimony in a matter of seconds. And it could take years to get it back. And in some cases, you may never get it back with certain individuals. You lose your testimony in front of them with words or actions, and you may never have the influence over them for Christ as you once did. Now, we need to maintain our testimony for the Lord and also our service. Don't allow anything in your life that hinders service to God. If something is in your life, and by the way, this is between you and God. It's not the pastor's responsibility to go and examine your life and tell you what's hindering your life with God. That's between you and the Lord. But I challenge you this morning to make an inventory every once in a while and ask the Lord to show you. If there is anything, if there happens to be something that has come into your life that it may not be a sin, but guess what? It may be hindering your life for God. Maybe it's hindering your Bible study. Maybe it's hindering your prayer life. Maybe it's hindering your service in the church. Maybe it's hindering your ability to witness. Whatever it may be, if there is something there, ask the Lord to show you. And if there is something, then deal with it. You see, this morning, Timothy was to grab hold of himself, take heed of his life, and be faithful. You know, I think of morals. You know, this morning, so many young people are making, you know, this is advice to a young man, they're making decisions at a young age that I think will affect them later in life. And it's sad. It really is. So many struggle with jobs later, or they struggle with relationships later because of just living in the world, living in the moment when they're young. Teddy Roosevelt, the president, former president of the United States, when he departed for college, him and his dad were very close. And here's the advice his dad gave him right before he left. He says, take care of your morals first, your health next, and finally, your studies. Now today, we often flip it. Take care of your studies first. And then the list goes on and on. I think that's good advice. And from my understanding, he followed that the best he could. He did all right, I think. You see, this morning, what we need to do is take care of our life. Take care of how we live life. Secondly, notice he talks about doctrine there. And under the doctrine. Now, doctrine is teachings that come from God. You know, basically we have the doctrines of the Bible. Those are the teachings of the Bible. That Jesus is the Son of God, salvation by grace through faith, and the list goes on and on of all the teachings. And Timothy was to hold these. Basically, he was to keep them. In other words, he wasn't to neglect them, wasn't to ignore them, wasn't to set them aside because some people disagreed with them. He was to be faithful with what he knew to be the truth. And that basically tells us he was to know the teachings of God. He was to study and continue to be faithful. You know, at the end of this, he tells us here, and we're in 1 Timothy 4. Notice, we look at the last part of this, verse 16. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. You know, there are some people, and I've read articles on this, There are some that use this verse here to talk about works for salvation. And I'm going to address this real quick as we get ready to wrap this up, because this is an important part of this passage. I've read where some say, well, see, we need to work to keep it or to get it, or we need to continue so we can be saved. And Timothy could, you know, teach these and they could be saved. I think, first and foremost, I think that's taking it out of context. And I'm going to show you why. Notice in 1 Timothy 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 2, what did Paul say? He says, unto Timothy. Now, this is a letter written to Timothy. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So, to begin with, we need to understand that Timothy was saved. At least Paul believed so, and that was his profession. He was saved, his own son in the faith. He belonged to the Lord. So, that eliminates the thought of this being works for salvation, because Timothy was already saved. In other words, this letter was not dealing with salvation. This letter is dealing a letter written to a man who was already saved. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice what it says in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And the list goes on and on and on. I'm not going to read the passage, but it goes on and on and on. Of basically people following after false teachings. Now here's what we find. If we take it into context, this letter and this portion in particular is not talking about salvation. It's not talking or dealing with salvation. What we're talking about here, and he says talking about saving himself and others, he's talking about falling into false teachings or going a wrong direction, basically. Falling into apostasy is what the Bible calls it. You know, this morning, it's possible. It's possible for believers to be swept away by false teachings. And there's some that's happened to them. I believe they're saved. If they've trusted in Christ, they are saved. But they get under maybe a false teacher, or they read some books, and next thing you know, they're influenced by this false teacher. Now, their salvation is still there. Usually what happens is a lot of confusion comes in. And then discouragement sets in. I've met believers like this. I believe they're saved. But they get to the point where they don't serve God because they just don't understand. They're discouraged and confusion sets in. So that's why it's dangerous. That's why Paul is looking at Timothy saying, guess what? Take heed. Be careful. Here's the advice I'm giving to you so you don't fall into that trap. So you don't fall into trouble. So you don't get discouraged. So you don't get confused. So you don't just say, well, I don't understand, so it's not worth it. I'm not going to serve God. I'll just see what happens. That can happen to believers. And that's the warning I think we find here from Paul. Paul's not saying you can save yourself, make an atonement and save yourself. He's basically saying you can prevent yourself from falling into sin, falling into troubles, and getting yourself swept away into all these false thoughts and all these ideas. And next thing you know, your ministry will just be gone. Now that's the importance we find here. You see, Timothy was to beware of this. You know, in closing this morning, this is invaluable advice, is what this is. I can just picture Paul as he's writing this letter to Timothy, wishing he was there with him, and thinking of how he could write this out so that way Timothy would receive it, and he would be able to take it and grow from it. And so he writes this out, and he has Timothy in mind. Loves him. Doesn't want to see him fall into any false ways. Doesn't want to see him discouraged. Wants to see him remain faithful to God so that God can bless his life. So that someday he stands before the Lord and the Lord can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the list goes on and on of why Paul would care for Timothy. And so he gives him this advice. And he begins with his calling. He says, you're called of God. You have that gift. Use it for God's glory. You know, this morning, before you can serve the Lord, you have to belong to him. And that's where it starts. You know, the way I like to illustrate it, some are trying to build they're putting the frame of the house up without the foundation. They don't have a foundation. They don't have salvation. And they're trying to live for God. They're going to church. They're trying to be righteous. They're trying to do good works. And to be honest with you, they're struggling. And for good reason. There's no foundation there. You see, the Bible teaches that once we're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And we receive the power that God has to live a life for God. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's not our fruit. He produces that in our life. But it begins with Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. And this morning, I want to ask you, I hope and pray you're saved. You know, I think of Timothy as a young man. You know, that's the ideal, by the way. That's the ideal. A lot of times you have, and I think it's a blessing. You know, we You have men that will come to the church or women that will give their testimony, and they'll have years. They'll live years in sin. Years in sin. And then they'll be saved, and without a doubt they're saved. And they'll give a testimony, and if we're not careful as a church, we can almost present that as the ideal. But that's not the ideal. I think the ideal is Timothy, a young man saved at a young age with a whole life to live for God. It was D.L. Moody, after a series of meetings, went home, and his wife asked him, she said, well, how'd it go? He said, oh, it was great. He said, we had 2.5 people saved. Well, she looked, she goes, 2.5 people, two adults and one kid? He said, no, 2 children and 1 adult. They have their whole lives to live for God. This morning, that's the ideal. You know, we have some young people in our church here. That's the ideal. You know, it's better not to be tarnished with this world. It's better to have a life that's glorifying to God. I tell you what, your life in church will be better. Your life within your relationships, within your home will be better. With as in, now, of course, God can save, and God will bless anyone, of course. But that's the ideal, to be saved at a young age and to serve the Lord as long as you can. Now, this morning, you may have been saved at a later age. And if that's the case, then you thank God for your salvation and give Him what you have left. See, that's where it begins. Once you're saved, giving your life to God with what you have. And God may have 20, 30, 40, 50 years for you left here on earth. That He's got a plan for your life. Give to God what you have now and pray that the Lord will bless you. See, that's commitment. That leads to the commitment part. He was to be committed to the Lord. Not so that he could gain any salvation or any merit with God, but because God had saved his soul. And that God had given him a gift. And he was to use it for God's glory. You know, I think that there are a lot of people that have excellent gifts for God. You know, there are a lot of people in this world, without a doubt, I think of some musicians. That just comes to my mind. You know, there are a lot of people in this world that have the ability to sing. And most of them are using it for themselves. It's a gift from God, like it or not. They may not think so, but it's a gift from God. Now, of course, they're not using it for God because they don't belong to God. They're using it for self. But any gift can be this way, by the way. But we should use our gifts for God's glory. Now, there's nothing wrong, I don't think, with using them to make a living, of course. I'm not saying that we can't use them to make a living, but let's also use them for the glory of God as well. You see, that's commitment, giving your life to God. And then your concern. You know, in closing, what concerns you this morning? You know, we have a lot of concerns in this world. Now, some, you know, may be concerned with your job, and rightly so. There may be a situation at work that you're thinking things over. Some may be concerned with what's going on in our world today. You know, you wake up every morning, you watch the news, or you get online and you read the headlines, and there's a lot going on in our world that can concern us. What's going to happen next? How about the financial situation? There are a lot of things that can concern us. Timothy lived in a world just like we did. Now, it may not have been the same world, the same generation, but I imagine there were a lot of things that could have concerned him as well. But Paul said, you need to be concerned with your life, your testimony, and the teachings of God, that you're remaining faithful to those things. You know, this morning in closing, I want to challenge you, if you're saved here this morning and you're a believer, then you should be concerned with those two things. You should be concerned with your life for God, your conduct, how you're living, and then finally, the teachings of God. What you know, are you applying those, and are you growing in the Lord? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. I thank you for the blessings, and I pray that you'll bless this time of invitation. If you worked in anyone's heart here this morning, Lord, I pray that they'll just seek you out in prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have an invitation this morning. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a few minutes. We're just going to, as the piano begins to play, this is an opportunity for you to seek the Lord in prayer. If God has worked in your heart in any way at all this morning, I just encourage you to seek Him in prayer. You can come down to the altars and pray. I know some come down to the altars and they seek the Lord in prayer. You can pray right where you are. But if God has worked in your heart here this morning, maybe there's someone here that as the message was going, began to think about their life with God, and they began to realize or understand that they're not saved. Never trust in Christ as your Savior. Maybe that's you here this morning. Maybe you have questions concerning salvation. If that's the case, please come down. Someone can show you from the Scriptures what salvation is. We can answer your questions from the Bible and show you what it is to be saved. You know, maybe there's someone here that it's the issue of commitment, making a commitment to the Lord. I think we can all do more. And so if that's the case, I encourage you, seek the Lord out. Maybe you want to make some decisions for the Lord, personal decisions. I encourage you to do that.